All right, this is part two of Shmoneh Esrei. It's the eighth in the series. I want to again thank Becky and Avi Katz for their sponsorship. So last week we discussed really the halachos of Shmoneh Esrei and a general introduction. Shmoneh Esrei is the tefillah par excellence. As I noted, when Chazal speak of tefillah without any elaboration, they mean Shmoneh Esrei. And as the tefillah par excellence, Shmoneh Esrei is very exquisitely honed and drafted very precisely to reflect a number of things: humility, fundamental ideas of our existence that we should always be contemplating, praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, petitions for our needs, and really overall the proper placement of a Jew in the world, that is to say, our essential obligation to always stand in recognition of Hashem. So last week, if one thing came out of it, I tried to demonstrate that the most important part of the Shmoneh Esrei is not the bakashas, not the petitions, even though they're numerically greater than the other parts of Shmoneh Esrei, the Shevach and Odah, but in fact the Shevach is the most important part of the Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei essentially is an opportunity given to us to stand before God and praise Him. And this opportunity is afforded to us because we have needs, because we're human beings who have needs ranging from the beginning knowledge to the end redemption and everything in between. So therefore, we'll naturally be drawn to Kadosh Baruch Hu to ask for those needs. Because we'll naturally be drawn to Kadosh Baruch Hu to ask for our needs, so Chazal saw it as the opportune time for Jews to engage in praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest level. Now, praise of God, Shevach, is not a casual concept, and we sometimes think of it casually because we do it so often, it's the brachos, M'sukkah Zimra, etc. But in fact, it's not. We are not peers of God. When someone praises another, it means you see a quality in another person that you admire. But you praise the person because the person is more or less on the same level, maybe has the same proclivities that we have, but they've excelled in a specific area. That, of course, is completely inappropriate relating to God. God is not our peer. The relationship between us and God is asymmetrical. He's the creator. We're next to nothing. We're dust and ashes. So therefore, for us to stand in praise of God is a most sublime and somewhat paradoxical act. We're only allowed to do it because Chazal told us to, and the Torah tells us to. It's because it's important for man to recognize God. The highest level man can reach is to live a life in praise of God. So therefore, because of the paradox, Chazal sprinkled a number of matirim, some of which I mentioned already last week. Matirim means things designed to give us permission to stand before God. We add some when we're even adding to those praises of God. That's that paragraph we say on the Yom Naram, Misod Chachamim Unevonim, that we're using the utterances of the sages and the wise people. On our own, we would not add to the Shevach of Hashem. That we can't do. But Misod Chachamim Unevonim, then already we're allowed to repeat their words. We take three steps backwards and three steps forward before we start the Shmoneh Esrei. Three steps backward because of our reluctance. Again, who are we to petition the Creator of all? By the same token, in order to approach God, we're acknowledging that we have to do something. We can't just stand where we are, but we have to move forward. We have to come a little closer, physically closer. We say, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, we ask God, we use that pasuk from David HaMelech. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagiti Lozacha, that our mouths should relate this praise of God. And of course, we start the Amidah with a beautiful Shevach, the brachos of Avos and Gvuros and Kedusha. The Shevach is really the objective of the tefillah. That's what we noted last week. It requires kavana le'ikuvo. If a person has no kavana in the brach of Magen Avram, the brachos Avos, it's as if we didn't daven at all. It's a shaila whether to say it again. We really mikra din, you should say it again, because there's no tefillah if we don't have kavanah for that. Why that is, we'll see in a moment. But in any event, it teaches us that the objective of tefillah is recognition of God. That's the objective of tefillah. Really, amida lifnei Hashem. Amida lifnei Hashem. Standing before God. Acknowledging that we are petitioners before God. That we are creatures. That is the whole objective, to be an omei lifnei Hashem. Tonight I want to look at how the tefillah was constructed. And we can only really skim the surface. I hope to share some just basic ideas. But by way of introduction, look first at number 2. In the Aruch HaShulchan, Simon Tzadi Ches, Sif Gimel. Yadua liyodechein. It's known to sensitive souls, Sheyesh Kavanos Ramos Vinizgavos Petfilo, that there are many sublime and exalted concepts in Tfilo. Vanshe Knesses Agdolo, Shehayukulam Tzadike Yisode Olam, Vachachamim Gedolim, the men of the great assembly, who were righteous people, pillars of the universe, great sages, who v'socham kamen aviyim, and in their midst some prophets as well, ramzu batfilo dvarim ha'omdim mirumo shel olam. They alluded in this tefillah to things which touch the very heights of the universe. Bichudim noram, and the specific allusions, expressions that are awesome. And in fact, you see, I didn't cite it here, but the Farshim, the Tur and others, go to great lengths examining the number of words in the Shemoneh Esrei, the numbers of the letters in the Shemoneh Esrei, in order to extract, to derive therefrom the basic ideas that are just beyond the simple pshat. So those kavanos, ramos, vinizgavos exist, but Achlav kol mocha sovilga. Not every mind can really accept it, can understand it. Not to mention the fact that we struggle with kavana, just the simple perish amilim, not to be distracted by cell phones and other things. But in fact, we struggle with the basics. So to have in mind kavanos, ramos, vinizgavos is almost beyond our ability. A person who is not perfectly righteous, who is separate from the inanities of this world, and he's not the great sage, both in the revealed and hidden Torah, best he just try to understand the simple meaning of the words, and to understand exactly what the kavanah is supposed to be in the tefillos. And the Zohar says in Shlach, Kol barnash dosu liyachto shmo kadisho, laskavim bebeliba ur'usa, udechilu begin di zborchun be'eloi v'tatoi, ramu leitzlosa livra. Those are really words that should make us tremble, if we understood them. What it means is that a person who says these brachos, let's talk about the Shem Hashem, you have again and again the basic phrase, Baruchat Hashem, Baruchat Hashem, in the Shemoneh Esrei. A person would mention God's name, B'miyachet Shemo, in brachos, and really not paying attention to what he's saying, Baruchat Hashem, not aware he's saying the Shem Hashem. So such a person is troubled, in trouble, to say the least. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kori, God says about him the Pasuk at the beginning of Yeshayahu, Kisovo leros panai, person comes to see me, mi bikesh zos mi etchem, remos chatzera, who asked him to come? Who asked him to come trample my courtyard? As some of the discussions we've had in shul the last week, reiterating the fact that davening is a right, is a privilege rather, and not a right. Davening beis hakneses, it's a privilege. That's what Pasuk Yeshayahu says. God says, me, in the words of the Navi, who asked you to come trample my courtyards? Who needs you, God says? You're going to come insincerely, come frivolously, with nonsense, and the outside world brought him to the shul. Who asked you to come? Stay home. It's not me saying that. That's what Yeshayahu HaNavi said in Chazon Yeshayahu, quoting his Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see, the basic is to understand what the words are. I hope to do a little more than that. Since to understand the words, we have translations. What I want to look at really is the structure. Why the brachos are phrased the way they are. We'll spend most of the time naturally on the first bracha, more time on the first three brachos than the rest, because those are the essential brachos. But nevertheless, we'll try to see in the theme how everything fits in. So the bracha, which requires kavana li'ikuva, is the first bracha of Magen Avraham. That's the Birchas Avos. Elokeinu v'elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'elokei Yaakov. That bracha really makes one point. And I think we'll see later on why, in fact, it is the essential bracha. That bracha is a statement of Hashgachas Hashem. Period. That's a statement that God's providence extends to His creatures who turn to Him. Through the Avos, especially the descendants of the Avos. God is a Mashgiach on Klal Yisrael. The second bracha, the Birchas HaGvuros, Ata Gibor L'Olam Hashem, that speaks of God's omnipotence, God's creative power. He's all-powerful, He's Mechaye Mason. And that's how the bracha ends, Mechaye Mason. That speaks to God's might. And the third bracha, the bracha of Kedusha, Kela Kadosh, so Kadosh, as we've discussed other times, Kadosh means, I mean, we use the word holy because we don't have a better word for it. But Kadosh really means different. It means that God's essence is different than something we can perceive. God is unique. Ata Kadosh, v'shimcha Kadosh, u'kadoshim b'chol yom yeluch ha'selo. Meaning you are unique. You have a dimension, an essence that we can't describe, that's different than anything that we know, that we can't perceive. We can only say it's Kadosh. Hokel HaKadosh. Now, what's unique about this structure in the first three brachos of Shevach? We have three shvachos. God is a Mashiach, He's a Borei Olam, and He's different, He's Kadosh. What's strange about it? What's strange is that the order is philosophically reversed than what we would otherwise think. Because if we were looking at it from a purely philosophical perspective, what comes first is our acknowledgement of God. Bereishis Bara Elokim, what comes first? God comes first. What comes after that? Bereishis Bara Elokim, God created the world. So God's power is a Borei, as a Gibor, that comes second. What comes third? The Avos. Avos, that God relates to man, relates to Klal Yisrael. That came after the recognition, Avram's recognition of God as the Borei Olam. So in fact, ordinarily we would say, if we had to approach this from a purely philosophical sense, I'm sharing ideas of Rabbi Chait, I should mention, you define the object, and then you define the object's capabilities, and then how it relates to man, because that would be a natural progression. Tefillah is reversed. We start with how God relates to man, and then move beyond that to how God relates to the universe, Gvuros, and then his nature, which is beyond our definition. Why is that? So the answer is because in tefillah, we're allowed to follow a natural approach. Because the very first thing we do in tefillah is posit the relationship that we have with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what gives us the right to stand before God. That's what starts the tefillah. We posit, we declare, we proclaim that we have this relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So without that relationship, we couldn't stand there. That relationship comes through the Avos. But we're allowed to use our emotions in order to approach God and increase our recognition of Him. So that is to say, we first establish that relationship exists through the Avos. That's why we're here. Omdim lifnei Hashem. And that is why it's the first reference. And that's why it's the most important reference. That, in fact, becomes our credentials as mispalim, that we present a business card. What's our business card? We know who we are. So why are we here? Why are we standing before you? Because you're Elokeinu, v'Elokei Avoseinu. You are God, we acknowledge that, the God of our fathers. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov. Once we relate to God through the Avos, once we establish our credentials, then we recognize that God can provide us with our needs because He's all-powerful, Ata Gibor L'Olam Hashem, Rochav Gvuros, and that he's all powerful in a different way. Not like, you know, a Superman, Lahavdil is all powerful, but in a different, in a qualitatively different way. That's not HaKadosh Hashem HaKadosh, that he's HaKel HaKadosh. So that's how the bracha starts. It's unusual, you know, Chazal discuss how and why, in fact, God is introduced to us in our tefillah through references to human beings, through the Avos, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That God is Mishate Shmo to human beings is not a simple concept either, because human beings, even the most exalted of human beings, are still human beings, subject to sin, to vulnerability, to flaws, etc. So that God should be Mekadesh Shmo, Meshatev Shmo, link his name, Elokei Avraham. That's strange. No, we never say Elokei Moshe, Elokei David. We don't say that. The Avos we do. Something else is interesting. What's lacking in all these brachos here? What's lacking? So we know there's a klal that every bracha that doesn't have Shem U'Malchus is not a bracha. That's where all our brachos start. Brachat Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Olam. Where's Malchus here? Where is Malchus? So let's look at the tour in number four. The tour is in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. U'Poschim B'Elokei Avraham. We start with God as the God of Avram. Dama Rish Lakish V'Eschol L'Goy Gadol. God said to Avram, Lech Lecha, I'll make you a great nation. Goy Gadol Zesha Omrim Elokei Avraham. V'Avarechecha, I'll bless you. It's Elokei Yitzchak. Agad Lo Shmecha, I'll make your name great. That's Elokei Yaakov. Yochol Yu Chosmin B'Chulon. Maybe you'll think we'll end the bracha by reference to all of them, the three of us. No. Ve'ye bracha, you will be the blessed one. V'cho chosmin, ve'en chosmin b'kulon. The bracha ends with you. Magen Avraham does not end with the reference to the other of us. V'hi posachas v'chosemes b'varuch. It's the first bracha. All the other brachas, every bracha after that does not start with baruch, because the brachas has smuchas l'chaverto. Brachos that adjoin another bracha, like you have, for example, the Sheva brachos. So the first three are short brachos. The fourth one, Asher Yatzon Mechochmo, that's a longer bracha, ends in Baruch, and all the next three, are brachos asmuchas lechaver. But that's why you see some of the minig that 4, 5, and 6 will be said by one person because of smuchas lechaver. That's one of the variety of minhagim that exist. But all the other brachos in the Shemon Esrei are smuchas lechaverto. Ve'af al pi shein malchus b'psicha yesh omer melokei Avram hevi kemo malchus. Why is there no malchus? There is malchus. That's Elokei Avram. When the bracha says that God is the God of Avram, that is malchus. She Avraham himlicho so al kol ha'olam. Avram anointed God over the entire world. That he informed, acquainted the world with God and his kingdom. Everyone. Or some say, so Malchus is there, in fact. What do we mean when we say God is Meshatev Shmo? That he links his name to another person? It means that God's Hashgacha, his providence, and his Shechina, his presence, is demonstrated through these people's lives. That's what it means, God's Meshatev Shmo. God's presence and God's providence was demonstrated through Avraham, through Yitzchak, through Yaakov, and to us, through the Bris Avos. Medrash says that Avos Hein Hein Amerkava, God's chariot in the world, those are the Avos. A chariot is something that heralds the presence of the king, of nobility. The Avos were God's chariots, in a real sense. We're God's chariots now. So therefore, there is Malchus. Elokei Avraham is Malchus Hashem. Because Avraham, that's Melech HaOlam. Elokei Avraham is synonymous to the phrase we use elsewhere, Melech HaOlam, because Avraham is the one who, in a sense, coronated God as the king, because through Avraham, mankind recognizes God. In fact, it's a truism. Because through Avram and the Bnei Avram in all the various guises today, the world recognizes the existence of God. Granted, some of his children were flawed in their understanding, but nonetheless, that understanding exists as well. Avram, Sabacha Chosmin, Vein Chosmin Chulon, we had Magen Avram and not the others. Why? What's wrong with Yitzchak and Yaakov? So the answer is that Avram Avinu was essentially great because of who he was and what he did. He's Yochid Bolomo, Zera Avraham Ohavi, the Navi Yeshayahu said in the Haftarah for Lech Lecha. Avram is God's beloved. Without Avram, who knows what the world would look like? It's such a tremendous figure, almost unimaginable in his greatness. Yitzchak and Yaakov were also great, but part of their greatness was that they were the son and grandson of Avram. But b'chochosmin ve'yei bracha, you are the one who's truly blessed. You're the source of all this goodness that comes to mankind. The bracha ends, I want to take this up because thematically it is linked. Magen Avram, we end the bracha by blessing God, he's the shield of Avram. That is to say, every tefillah that we recite is a kiyum, is a fulfillment of God's promise to Avram Avinu. And Avram's greatness in the world is enunciated every day through Klal Yisrael. Now, think about that. That's something to ponder. We say the bracha, which we say so frequently. Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. We say God is the shield of Avram. It means every day we verify, we validate, we reconfirm that notion that this great figure, so to speak, introduced God to the world, and we are his heirs. We carry his heritage, his legacy, in fact, his name, even his mark, the bris, on our bodies. And therefore, God's haftachos to Avram are fulfilled through us. Therefore, something else comes out of it. And that's the geula we'll get to in a moment. But look at 5 first. Also in the Torah. Hakel hagadol ha-gibor v'anoro. That phrase we use, that phrase comes from the Torah. In Dvarim, that's the phrase that Moshe Rabbeinu used, that God is great. What's that? Yeah. God is great and powerful and awesome. Ein lahosif olav, you can't add to that. And you see, we never deviate, never tamper with that paragraph. Kidisa Perakin Om, the famous Gemara in Brachos. Ha'ud anochas kamer Rabbi Chanina, someone took the Amud before Rabbi Chanina. Amar hakel hagadol hagibor v'anoro. And then he got carried away. Sometimes we have our Shlichei Tzibur improvise also. Of course, it's usually not in recognizable Hebrew, but that's a different point. But he said Hebrew words. He started carrying on. Ha'adir, ha'izuz, ha'yirui, ha'amitz, ha'chazak. Carrying on in praise of God. And he stopped. So Rabbi Chanina said to him, Siyamte shvachot morach. Have you completed all the possible praise that you could say of your master, God? So, of course, the person said no. So Rav Chanina says, so why did you go on more than we were told to say? Hashta hanach tlasa ilav da amara Moshe Rabbeinu v'osu anshei kenes hagdola v'tikninu. If not for the fact that Moshe said this and the men of the great assembly ordained it in the Amida, lo hava amrilu, we would not say them. V'at amr kuli hai. And you see even more than that, perish. Kishemaflig lomar, when we exaggerate, when we supplement the praise of God in an inappropriate way, even if we mean well, marid dvarav shegia l'tachlis ha-shevach. It's as if we're demonstrating that we said more, so that's it, there's nothing else to say. We said another 5 praise of God, that's all the praise there is. That can't be. Hilkach ein lomar ela kamosh omar rishon. You can't say any more than that. And the great klal, the Torah says, the Gemara quotes of Yitzchak, davka b'tfilah kam hashen l'shanas matbea shetivu chachamim v'brachos. You can't deviate from the text that Chazal established, ordained in the brachos. But bein levein atzmo leislambo. We'll see later that there's a room in the bakashos for a little improv, spontaneous prayer. In any event, hakel hagadol hagibor v'hanoro, that is the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam, in fact, makes this point, Hilchos Tefillah. Omrim k'moshe omar Moshe, we say exactly what Moshe said. Any translation into our terms is going to be a misconception. And so we cannot say any more than that. Kel Elyon, the goddess of the supreme power, superior power. That's also from the Torah. Where's that from? Earl will know. Adam Shem, the son of Noah. Uchahein Lekel Elyon. He was the priest at the Kel Elyon's supreme power. He came out to greet Avram after the triumph over Sodom. And he said, Uvarach Avram Lekel Elyon. What's that praise, Kel Elyon? Because in Shem's time, and Avram's time for that matter, the people worshiped nature. To them, nature was all-powerful. So Shem tried to redirect, rechannel their subservience away from the power of nature to the power of He who created nature. That is Kel Elyon. There's only one power in the world, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not just that He's more powerful than the sun and the planets, etc. It's not that He's more. Of course He's more. But He's essentially a different power. He has the power of a creator. What else do we then say? Gomel chasidim tovim. That God bestows good kindnesses. Good kindnesses? What are they? Bad kindnesses? Yes, they're bad kindnesses too. Chasodim tov. We say people, someone's a bal chesed, and it's high praise. We never say someone's a bal chesed tov, because that depends on much more the person can deliver. When we say God is a bal chesed, gomel chasodim tovim, it means God's chesed exists both in means and in end. The way it's delivered and the end process is delivered. But human chesed, sometimes the problem is delivery, sometimes the problem is end result. We try to be bal chesed. We try. We don't always succeed. Like, you know, the old story about the 10 Boy Scouts who helped an old woman across the street kicking and screaming. Why? She didn't want to go. So that's human chesed. Sometimes we do things people they don't want it, or they do want it, but we do it in the wrong way. So our chesed is incomplete. Same thing, Agavurcha, God's justice. Hatsur tamim pa'alo kichol drachav mishpat. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that God's justice is also perfect. Human justice is never perfect. Human justice, so someone is sent to prison, the family's affected by it. What do they do wrong? Nothing. But they suffer. So human justice is insufficient. But God's justice, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, it's kichol drachav mishpat. Everything is weighed. So if one person's suffering impacts on others, it must be that everything had to happen that way. So all the calculations come out exactly the way they are. That's gomel chasodim tovim. It's a unique praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kone hakol. He acquires, really owns everything. It's kone shamayim v'aretz. Similar to another phrase in the Torah. Shem's phrase also. That God is the acquirer of heaven and earth. Now, the bracha, as you see, lists God's attributes, as well as His deeds, His ma'asim. Then, how we relate to God. Up until this point, except the avos, we're just speaking about God. And now we start a new thought. V'zocher chasdei avos. Look at number 6 on the back. Again in the tour. V'zocher chasdei avos. U'mevi goel l'vnei v'neihem l'man shemo. Tiknu l'hazkir chasdei avos eitzel ha'geulo. All of a sudden we mention, it sounds like a tefillah, a bakasha, for geula, for redemption, but it's really praise of God. Chazal drafted, they took this phrase, the Zohar Chazal, so maybe Goel, Levnei Vineyam, Lomar Sha'afim Tamos Chus Avos, even if the merit of our fathers ceases, Geula Sola Olam Kayemas, God's redemption will still endure. Shahrei Hiftiach Babishma Gadol, because He promised Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov with His great name that their children would be redeemed. V'chasher Shmo Kayom La'olam La'olme Olamim Kach Geulaseinu La'olam Kayemes. Just like God's name, meaning His existence endures forever and ever, so too our Geula will be forever and ever. And that's, I said many times already, we're defined as the Am Geulei Hashem, a redeemed people. Ochei Perusha. Zocher Chasdei Avos Livneihem L'Golam. That He remembers the kindness of the fathers in order to redeem the children. And even if their merit has already ceased because we're not on their level, nevertheless He should do it L'man Shemof, His name, and He should do it B'Ahava as well. So it's not because of us. It's, as we say many times in the Tefillah, it's L'man Shemo HaGadol. It's because of His great name that He should redeem us. And it's Ba'ahava. Ba'ahava means unconditionally, no strings attached. Ba'ava means not dependent really on our own conduct. Agavurcha, why do we say here on Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Zochreinu L'chaim Melechafetz B'chaim? So people think again that's a bakasha. It's not a bakasha. It's a Shevach Hashem. What are we asking for? Zochreinu, remember us for life. It means that we recognize God's plan is redemption. That is God's plan. V'zocher chazdevosu mevi goel levnei v'neim. That's God's plan for the world. What we ask is we should be saved because we want to be involved in God's plan for Gula. That's it. It's not for us. We want to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest possible level. So therefore we ask God, make us part of that plan for Gula. Include us. Include us in the plan. That's Zachrein Lechayim Melechafetz Bachayim V'chosveinu B'sefer Chayim. It's not a plea for life. Like Chosov Lechayim Tov and Kol B'nei B'Yisrael. B'sefer Chayim Tov Baruch V'Shalom. That's a bakasha. And even in Yehuda, it's a bakasha nonetheless. This is not a bakasha. This is really a Shevach Hashem. That all we want is the ability to participate and be members, active members in the world which comes to a recognition of the Malchus Hashem. That's what we want. That's the first bracha. Gvuros, we mentioned, is power, God's omnipotence. The bracha, both at beginning and end, mentions one thing, Tchiyas HaMeisim, resurrection. Atagibu Alolam Hashem, Mechai Meisim Ato. The word is, by the way, Ato, not Ato, but that's a side point. Mechai Meisim Ato. You are the resurrector of the dead. And the bracha ends, V'neman Ato, Lachiyos Meisim. Baruchat Hashem, Mechaye Meisim. So does Tchiyas HaMeisim come into this? So the answer is that the essence of Tchiyas HaMeisim is that it's Chutz L'Teva. It's, of course, supernatural. Only God can do it, because only God is the first cause. So Tchiyas HaMeisim for us constitutes almost a second creation. We did not experience Bereishis Bara Elokim. We heard about it. We read about it. But we did not experience it ourselves. We will experience a recreation, the second creation, Elos Lavo, and that is Tchiyas HaMeisim. Only God can do it. Tchiyas HaMeisim is a reaffirmation that God is the Borei Olam, and that He controls nature until today, so that is the highest level of Gvura, of omnipotence, that we can imagine. Yet, we do experience God's omnipotence commonly through lesser manifestations, important for us, but lesser in terms of its cosmic significance. What's that? Rain, it's Masha Ruch Mer HaGeshem, it's Mechal Kachayim B'Chesed, it's Rofei Cholim, Samech Noflim, Rofei Cholim. So we're beneficiaries of God's Gvuros on a lower level, but we recognize that V'neman Ato L'Hachayos Meisim. Kedusha is again the highest possible praise. It's basically saying, in the words of David HaMelech, silence is the best praise, because we can't say anything else but that God is unique, but God is different. And after we say that, we relate to Him through the Avos, and we recognize His omnipotence, and we recognize as best we can that He is beyond our full understanding. He's a different type of being. Then we're ready for the bakashas. Now, let's look at the Rambam in number 12. Itzichos Tefila Perikaf Alocha Dalid. You remember we did part of this last time. Rambam says, Kevin Shara Ezra Beis Dino Kach, when they saw that people were not davening, did not fully understand the way to formulate Shevach Bakasha Da, so they, Ezra, and Yanchek Esagdolo, they were the ones who ordained the Shmoneser Brachos Al HaSeder. Shalosh Rishonos Shevach Hashem, Shalosh Acharonos Hodoya. First three brachos, praise. Last three brachos, gratitude. V'mtzaios, the intermediary brachos, Yesh Bahen She'ilas Kol Hadvarim, Shehen Kamo Avos L'chol Cheftzei Ish V'Ish U'Letzorchei Atzibur Kulon. These brachos, the middle brachos, the middle 13, originally 12, but the middle 13, are prototypes of every possible need that a human being can have. And if you think about it, you say the brachas frequently enough, I can't think myself of any need, any desire that a person could have that cannot somehow be referenced into one of those brachas. Avos l'chol cheftze ish v'ish, u'letzarchei tzibur kulon, both as individuals and as a nation. Now, of course, when we say individuals, we always phrase those brachos in lashon rabim, in the plural, because it would be arrogant for a person to say, individually, just me and not anyone else. And of course, when we pray for others as a group, so it benefits our tfilos also. Granted, when some people say, Hashiveni Hashem Elecho, so it sounds like it's a Lashon Yachid, or Refu'aini Hashem V'nei Rafei, but he's not saying V'ei Rafei, he's saying V'nei Rafei, so it sounds like Lashon Yachid, but it's still Lashon Rabim nonetheless. So they're individual in terms of the common human needs we have, and then there are the national needs, beginning with Kibbutz Golios, Teka B'Shofa Gadol, Artsenu, culminating with Bias HaMashiach. I want to understand the order, though, and there are several ways of looking at it. First, very interesting piece in Aruch HaShulchan number one. It's in Siman Kuf Yud Beis, Sif Beis. He quotes an Agoda that's in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef quotes the Shibolei HaLeket, one of the Yishonim. As the Gemara McGill will get to, that the 120 Zkenim, Nachakes Agdola, Tikkun Shemenes Baruch HaSeder, V'Isa Bagadol. The Midrash says as follows, Mayala Seder, what's the order of these brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei? Zes Seder Olam, it's the order of life, order of the world. She Yudchos Brachos Shel Tfilo Me Olam Hayu Misukano Zoach Arzo. These brachos always existed, in some form ordained. And in a sense, they follow sequentially events that took place. People knew of the existence. I mean, the brachos always existed. We'll try to understand what it means. But the brachos always existed. They were out there. And the Anshei Knesset Gedolah just grabbed them and assembled them in their proper order. How do we know they were out there? Let's see. Kevin, Kishenitzel Avram, Ur Kasdim, when Avram was saved from the furnace and the Chaldees, Avram was saved. God is the shield of Avram. When in Kishenekad Yitzhak was bound on the altar, and Chazal says on some level he lost his life. It's brought back Mechai Mason. Kishabo Yaakov upaga b'shar rachamim v'hikdishmo shakadosh baruch hu. When Yaakov came and vayifka b'makom vayolan shom came to Beit El makom Mikdosh, and he was mispalel. See, touched the gates of mercy, sanctified God's name, Sakela Kadosh. Kishalime Gavriel as Yosef Shivim Lashon, Gavriel taught Yosef, note the historical order here. Gavriel taught Yosef 70 languages that gave him the edge over Paro, Omrchonin Adas, God's one who bestows knowledge on people. Kishiruvain Shav Bitchuva, Bemaise Bilo, Omrotze Bitchuva, Ruvain did Chuva for his sin. And Yehuda, Maise Tamar, was forgiven, Yehuda. Atzlach lo novinu. What else? Chanan Marbel Slavach. Kishem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim LeYisrael VeGoalti Aschem. Zgol Yisrael, the redemption, Egypt. Kishem Ripei Rafaos Avram. A backtrack that could have used, I guess, Miriam. But when Rafael healed Avram after the bris, Rofei Cholam Yisrael. Yitzchak sowed his field and told us, found Mea Sharim 100-fold. Mevarech Hashanim. Yaakov came to Mitzrayim with the Shvatim, with Yosef's promise, Mikabes Nidchamo Yisrael. God said to Moshe, Eila Mishpatim, Melech Oiv Tzedakah Mishpat. The Mitzrayim drowned, Shover Oivim Achnia Zedim. God said to Yaakov and Yosef, Yashis Yod Chaleinecho, Achim Iskayim, V'Yaakov Botach Al Dvaro, Mishon Mutach, Hatzadikim, Yaakov, Yosef, all the Tzadikim. That when Shlomo built the Mikdash, Boni Yerushalayim. When we crossed the Red Sea, Shira, Matzmir Keren Yeshua. Vayizaku El Hashem, Shomei Tfilo. Shechina came down, Mach Shechina Selatziyah, on the end of the Bracha of Avodah, Ritzei. Shlomo brought the iron into the Mikdash, Hodah, Hatov Shimcha, Uchon El Hodos. Finally, Kishenichnasu Yisrael Leoretz, Minisqaim Lehem, Minasati Shalom Baoretz. The highest level to live in Eretz Yisrael in tranquility and peace, that is Hamavarech Hasam Yisrael Bashalom. All right? It's a very nice account of our history. What it means, Chazal recognized that these are the formative events in Jewish life, and more than that, they reflect the gamut of the human experience. So it's not just that they looked at, as the Rambam said, kol cheftzei ish v'ish. They looked at exactly what has happened to human beings, what momentous things, what shapes our lives eternally, so that we are who we are. And it's these 18 events. And therefore, the full gamut of human experience as related to us in Tanakh, that finds expression here. Now, we have to understand the bakashos. Because the bakashos are, like I said, indirectly, we come through the bakashos, we come to praise God. Tefillah takes our instincts, our needs as human beings, and causes us to recognize God as the source of everything. What are we asking for, basically? What are we asking for? What we're asking for, we're praying, bracha by bracha, is that we should come under the Hashgacha Pratis, under God's special providence. That is to say, we have all these needs that we have. Those needs we have to make our hishtadlus, we make an effort to obtain. And nevertheless, our endeavors are not always successful. Why? Because that we need God's providence for. We need God's haskama. So, I'll give you a perfect example. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. A person wants das, he wants knowledge. It's not going to help him as much as he desires it if he grows up a family, you know, in the Australian outback and has no access to literature or books or teachers or knowledge. You have desire, but he's not in a situation where he can attain it. And that's true of everything else that we want, parnasa, health, etc. All these things are dependent on grants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, without getting too far afield, not every person is on the Hashgacha Pratis. Most people on the Hashgacha Klolis, the general laws of nature, so things happen to people and that's the way it is. But Klal Yisrael for sure, and Tzaddikim especially, the righteous, are able to come under the Hashgacha Pratis, God's special providence. This is the opportunity of Tefillah. Asking God, provide us with the opportunity to have knowledge, to have tshuva, be surrounded by Torah, for forgiveness, for geula from our immediate present needs, we'll see in a moment, for health, for parnasa. Manipulate events in our favor. Why? Because we've come to you, we're mishabeach you, we recognize you are the source of everything, and therefore, because you are a compassionate God, you're gomel chasadim tovim, so this should be part of your chesed tov. That's exactly what we're asking for in all of the bakashas, to manipulate the events and circumstances so that divine providence grants us these things that we so desire, if in fact we truly desire them. You have das, you have slicha, you have a good health, you have parnasa, you have all that. All we have is our efforts. We recognize you're the source. What we want is that these should be your will, should be your ratzon. Yehi ratzon milufanecha. It should be your will to grant these things to us. That's the first idea, that really it's an experiential flow, extracting from Tanakh all the range of events that formed the Jewish people as we are today. It's a long piece in number 3 in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and going out to Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We'll just touch on it, because this really is a conceptual flow. What the Gemara does here is link one bracha to the next based on psukim. So for example, Tana Rabbanan, third line. Minayin she'omrim avos. How do you know we say avos? It's first. Does havul Hashem b'nei elim. Ascribe to God the powerful. Who are the powerful? The avos. How gvuros? Havul Hashem kavod va'oz. Give God glory and strength. Acknowledge it. Kedushos. Havul Hashem kavod shmo shtach v'Hashem v'hadras kodesh. So that pasuk at the beginning of Tehillim, Mizmor LaDavid, Havul Hashem b'nei elim, which we say return the Torah on Shabbos morning, that trilogy accounts for avos, gvuros, kedushos. We don't have time to go into the significance of each of them, but just know there's a conceptual linkage here. Why do we say knowledge after Kedusha? Shenemar v'gdishu es kedosh Yisrael v'selokei Yaakov yaritzu, that we sanctify the Holy One of Yaakov and strengthen the God of Israel. Is that pasuk familiar? It's the last pasuk in the Haftorah, last Shabbos, just 2 days ago. The samech le v'yadu toe ruach bina. The next pasuk is that those who err will be given the spirit of wisdom. So wisdom comes first. So the Gemara says elsewhere in Brachos that why does Das come first? Because without Das, we're nothing. Why does Das come first? Without knowledge, well, what else are we asking for? If you don't have knowledge, there's nothing else going to help. So knowledge has to come first. Chochma binu Das. Umaro loma tshuva achar bina, why tshuva after bina? Because the pasuk says, ulevavo yavin v'shav v'rofalo. So therefore, Rufu is linked to tshuva as well. As the Gemara says, it's really linked to slicha, but slicha is a consequence of the tshuva here. Ma'ro, skip down a few lines. Lo mar gula b'shvius. Why is gula the seventh bracha? Amaro b'mitoch shasidin ligoyal b'shvius. Because we'll eventually be redeemed in the Shemitah year. So therefore, it's the seventh bracha. Very strange statement. It gets stranger, we'll see in a second. But Amar Mar, how do you say gula comes in the Shemitah year? Because the Brisa taught, Beshishis Kolos, in the sixth year, there's a thunder, there's troubles on the horizon. Beshvius Nuchomos, the seventh year, wars. Bimotsoi Shvius Ben David Bo, in the eighth year, after the Shemitah year, Mashiach comes. So Gemara says, Milchoma Nami at Chalta de Gulahi. Milchoma, war is the beginning of redemption. That's the only time this phrase, at Chalta de Gula, is used in the Talmud. Milchoma is also at Chalta de Gula. But why is it seventh? Go on even more. Ma ro loma refuah b'shminas. Why is refuah, refuahinu, the eighth bracha? Zerbacha said because mila is on the eighth day, and the kid needs a refuah. What about birchas hashanah b'chiyas? Because in Tehillim, David said that you should break the hands of those who manipulate market shares, or the prices in the markets, like the cartels. And that's the ninth kapitel. What is all this saying? It seems almost fanciful. The seventh, because the rule of the Shemitah year, so what is it with the Shemon Esrei? So I think the answer is that, in fact, what Chazal are telling us, that this conceptual linkage is not just in terms of the abstract, but tefillah has to be a Meisah Limud as well. It has to be Talmud Torah too. And therefore we reference all these things. Every dimension which reminds us of that particular entity plays a role in the formulation of the tefillah. It's not just words. It's words which have, like the Aruch HaShulchan said, kavanos ramos min isgavos, but it's Talmud Torah too. It goes on. Why is kibbutz golios after birchas hashanim? Because the famous pasuk Yecheskel, v'atem harei yisam v'chem titenu, v'chem tislam yisra kikeru lavo, the sure sign of impending geula is that the land of Israel sprouts to life. So once that happens, it's kibbutz golios. And then once that happens, nasadim b'rishoyim, and then the minim disappear, and the tzaddikim are exalted, where? In Yerushalayim, and then Ben David comes, that's Matzbir Ker Yeshua, and then once Kevin Shabbat David Vosso Tfilo, then we have the true prayer, because the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Avoda, we have the bring Karban Todah, and of course then you have the Birkas Shalom, which is what we want, Hamavarchas Am Yisrael Pashalom. That is the conceptual flow. Look for a moment, turn to number 10 on the back. So Mechaber says in Kuf Tesvav, why do we start with Chonin Adas, knowledge? Kuf Tesvav Sivalef, Mepnesha Mosar Hodim Min HaBehema HiAbina V'HaSechel. The advantage of man over the animals is that we have wisdom and understanding. Hi Mosar Min HaBehema Oyin KiAkol Havel. So Chazal says, it's my grandfather, Vashalom. Oyin is Adam Yesh Neshama, man is a soul, that's Oyin. Neshama is that capacity man has to understand. So that's Bina B'Seichel. Therefore, Kavu Birchas Atachon in Yerushalem Tzayo, Shemein Bina in Tfilah. And the Mishnah Berurah continues, and he has really a thematic linkage in order of human needs. He says, first we need Das, because a man without Das, Tov Menu HaNefel, it's better not to be born. Das, you have to know what to do? So you want tshuva, you want slicha, you have to be healthy, you want refuah, you need parnasa, you need kibbutz golios, you need justice, you need an end to Risham and the uplifting of tzaddikim. It follows one after the other, all these things that we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, because one flows into the next. Gula, by the way, in Re'eino Vanyenu, is not, Rashi says in Megillah, Daf Yudzayin Amud Beis, it's not gula in terms of the future gula, because then it doesn't fit in thematically. Even though the Gemara says that the gula comes from Shvius. Rashi, they just use the expression. But gula here, Rashi says, min shi'igolenu min atzoros haba'os olenu tamid. It's from the daily tzoros that we have, the annoyances. Those annoyances, they don't amount to, you know, great things, traffic jam, whatever it is, but they're annoyances. They trouble us. God should save us from that so we should be able to pursue more exalted things. The added bracha v'la malshinim, of course, look at 13, Tanar Rabbanon, more brachos, daf chafes amud beis. Shimon HaPakuli, Hinzir Shimon HaSeh Brachos Lefer M'Galiyah, Seyed B'Yavne, he added this bracha, the brachas haminim, v'la malshinim al tisikva. Shimon HaPakuli, he reordained, apparently the brachas have been forgotten. Not so much the brachos, but the order was forgotten. So says the Gemara Megillah also in daf yudches. Then they needed another bracha. Omar Lohem Ram Galil Chachamim. Kumi Shodom Sheodel Lesakin Birchas Aminim. Is there one person who can draft a bracha, tefillah, against the heretics? Omar Shmuel HaKotan Yitikna. Shmuel HaKotan did. Shmuel was small because, no, he was short. He was humble. Lashon Acheresh Chachoy. He forgot it. The Gemara says, if a person did not say this bracha clearly, we suspect him of being a mins. He wasn't suspected. He drafted the bracha. How do you forget the bracha? The truth is, we curse people all the time. At least some of us do. It's not an easy thing to do, to write a bracha which appeals to the higher element of the human being against other people. It's almost at cross purposes. If you want to wish ill against other people, there's no nice way to do it. So nobody could do it. Some of the greatest chachamim, Rabbi Gamliel, who was able to do it? Shmuel HaKotan, only the person who was most noted for his humility. So many people say, Rav Kook and others, that the bracha was intended, targeted the early Christians. Obviously a heretical sect, but a heretical sect that came from within us. It was an internal threat against the Jews. External threats, we deal with. Internal threats are more difficult to deal with, as we see even in our day. What's always so fascinating is, when did he do this? This was obviously the first century, the Common Era. So why didn't they just change the name of Shmoneh Esrei to the Chatzrei? Make it the 19th. So it's 2,000 years already. It was only the 18th for 400 years. And now another 2,000 years, saying 19 brachas, only has 18 brachas. So what's the answer? It's not, of course, technically they want to always highlight that it's not officially part of Shmoneh Esrei. But I think it's more than that. But that is not an essential bracha, because we pray that heresy will be eliminated. So the rest of the tefillah will say Milosad Lavo. But when heresy is eliminated, there are no mashinim, no minim, there'll be no need for the bracha. So we drop from our repertoire, very simply. So that's why they never changed the name. One or two more points. I know you have Hodah as well. We thank God both for the opportunity, Shemat Tefillah, and Hodah, of serving Him, Avodah, and for all the good, and then the general request that we all have for shalom, for peace, which means completeness, wholeness in our existence. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention something that starts in number 7, and that is the notion of spontaneous or improvised prayer. Apparently it is a small but growing movement in parts of our country. I see this in the rabbinic literature of the time, that some shuls have developed almost spontaneous, like moments of silence on Shabbos morning. In small communities, they try to get people just to stand quietly, say their own tefillah. It's a very nice thought, a little misguided, because on Shabbos, daft, we don't do those things. But let's say we did it during the week. It's not the worst thing, but in fact, we have mechanisms for this type of improvised prayer, and that's in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Bakashos. In Ar Chaim, Simu Kufi Tesef Aleph, Imratza Lahosif Bechol Brocha Me'am Sa'is, Me'ina Brocha Mosif. If a person wants to add to the Brocha, he can. Now just note, you can look at it on your own time. In Kufi Beis Sif Aleph, in Erach HaShulchan, There he makes clear you can't add to the Gimel Rishonos or Gimel Achronos. But the middle you can. The Bakashos you can. So Ketzad. As we know, that's in the Sidurim. You have a specific chole you want to pray for. So in Rifa'inu, you pray for them. You need Parnasa. You can make up your own prayer for Parnasa. There's a text. I mean, no text. There is an order. There's a Seder. Shumosif, Rama says, Yaschu bivracha v'acharkach mosif. You have to start the bracha. Take a classic case. You know, I don't hear people do this often. They should. Let's say a kid has a test, or an adult has a test. You want divine assistance. Atachonein lodam das, umelamed lenosh bino. And they say, it's fila, God should give you the ability to pass this test. I tell your students to say this. Sometimes the tefillah is to sit them next to a person smarter than them, but that's a different opinion. So you say the beginning of the text, Atachone, Malamina Shvino, then a private tefillah, God should help you. I remember I did it for the bar exam, if I remember correctly. And then Chonein Mechadim Nasko, that's the basic text. You start with the beginning, you insert your private tefillah, and then you conclude with the chasima, the Chonein Mechadim Abinu Maskel, and the bracha. The chasima, the bracha never changed, especially the brachas never changed. And that's uniform. Even all these different gersos, Neshmon Esrei, the end bracha never changed. Mevarach Hashonim, Rofei Chol Yisrael, nobody ever adds anything because that is the text that's given. Really, the Meina Chasima, the last phrase before the bracha also should never be changed. But in fact, before then, after the beginning and before the end, that's when these bakashos can be inserted. We have the same thing with Refa'enu. Say the first phrase is Yiratzon, all the Sidurim have it. And then we say, and we go back to the tefillah, and we conclude with the Me'ena Chasima, and the Chasima Sabracha, Rofei Cholei, Amo Yisrael. Now, a few other points. In 8, Mishnah Berurah says, on Kufiyot Tes, I'm privileged to cuss, Daftim Hayalo, V'chein Parnasa, Daftim Sarach Parnasa. We only say these improvised prayers if we need something. But to thwart harm, that we can't do. Im Eino Rashoi Levakesh Racham Mebrocha Memetzayuz Al Ha'osid Shlo Yechela Shlo Yechzer Lachmo. You're not allowed to pray that you should not get sick, or pray that you should not lose your parnasa. That you can't do, Prima Gadam says, because that's praying for something in the future. That's not a need that you have. That is really trying to take you out of the system of life that God ordained that you can't do. Because if you did that, then in due course you'll stop turning to God. Because everything has all worked out. No, everyone is sent their own little pekula to carry, so we'll be able to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he continues in 9, in Sifkot and Gimel, that Tzarech Lasos Iker Mimadvei Shetibu Chachomim Uvakosha Shelo Tia Tfeilo V'lo Lehepech. The bakosha is inserted in the middle, not the beginning or the end, because your bakosha has to be secondary, and the essence of the bracha is still primary. And the Prima Gadim says, Sarach Lahaktim Alomar, Maimer Shalom, Minyan Abracha, Ganam Rotzel Vakish Nil Hashem Deo, Yaakov Yatachonin. That's exactly what I just said. Okay. Finally, a brief word about Chazara Sashatz. Chazara Sashatz, Simen Kuf Chav Dalet, Siv Dalet. So, of course, originally we have Chazara Sashatz for people who did not know how to daven, but now it's Me'ina Tfilah. When the shatz is chozer b'tfilah, hakol yeshlam lishtok. They should be silent. That's a novel thought. They should be silent, but that's what it says. L'chavin l'vracha, shem b'vracha chazm. L'anas amein. Listen to brachas the chazm says, and answer amein. V'mein tisha mechuvonim l'vrachasov, kor v'lios b'rachasov l'vatolo. If you don't have 9 people plus the shatz, what we assume is listening, brachos or l'vatolo. So therefore, every person, what's the point? The point is, it really is a second opportunity. Second chance. Our kavana is always imperfect, almost by definition. So here you have a second chance to listen to the shatz, who's your shaliach, repeat these same brachos, you listen, the kavana, you join in. So if you had some deficiency in the original kavana, so therefore, you have another opportunity to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Mechaber makes this point again in Siv Zayin. Lo yasiach sicha schulim b'sho shashatz chozer tefilo. You're not allowed to engage in idle conversation when the shatz is repeating the Shemon Esrei. V'msoch huchote, person who converses, is a sinner. V'gadol avano minaso, v'garim bo, and his sin is too great to bear. V'garim bo, That's what I usually do when I look back. That's a rebuke. It's a glare. We glare at the person. We rebuke the person. What's Godol Avonomi Niso? Where's that phrase from? Kayin. That's right. So I heard years ago, and Glenn is not here tonight, but asked me to mention, she heard it recently, Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Rashiva, the Mashkiach of Lakewood, mentioned once. I heard this at a Remington Rabbi's conference. A beautiful thought. The only time in the old Shulchan Aruch you see such a phrase, Gadol Avonomi Niso, we use the description that God gave of Kayin's sin only here. There are a lot of sins in Shulchan Aruch. Only here. About talking Chazaras HaShatz. Why? So he explained it's because what Kayin did was sever the connection that existed between Hevel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he took away the life force. It was a connection. He was alive. He was an Eved Hashem. He served God. He brought Karbanos. Kayin severed the connection between Hevel and God. Here, tefillah is that connection. And especially, it's obvious if a person in his own Amidah converses, which is absurd. But here, the Shatz is that connecting link. We're here, the Shatz is here, and our tefillah saw through him connected. He's the conduit for the tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person talks, it means he's severing the connection. He's taking away, he's depleting the life force of the tefillah by absenting it. Literally, he's cutting the cord, cutting the wire. She's no longer connected. That's why the same expression is used. If a person engages in sichas chulin, he's really just like Kayin. Gadol avonu minaso, v'gar bo, and he's a chote. He's a sinner. Now, let's look briefly at 16, the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat Chavav. Even if he wants to talk, but he has one ear listening for the end of the brachos, that's also no good. And the Shlo said, "Kasav v'Shlo Reisi me'acharedim advar Hashem shemisim nasida b'fneihem b'shas chazar satfilo v'neim v'libam shom shi'ir chutzo v'az mechavin makol mila mila." The Shlo wrote that pious people, they stand their chazar sashatz with the sitter in front of their eyes, following word for word. That's how they look. Now, I hate to say it, but because I'm as guilty as the next person, but you're not allowed to learn their Chazar HaShatz. I'm trying to get the cards to say this on a Friday night, but really you're not allowed. You're supposed to just look at the sitter, follow along. So, Mela, we're so weak, we're such a flawed generation that I always said to myself, Halavai, people should learn the sheets that we disperse. Read from the sheets, it's better than talking, which is clearly true. But you should know, even learning is not good. Chazar HaShatz, you're supposed to listen. Mishnah Berurah ends in Ksiv Kadon Chav Zayin. Kosav El Yarabo, Hakol, B'Shem HaKolbo, Oila Noshim Shemesicha Meisat Filo, Ki Reinu Kama Batei Knesses, Nechrubu B'Shvil Avon Zeh, V'yesh L'manos Anashim Yiduim L'Ashkiach Al Zeh. The Kolbo wrote, woe to people who talk during davening, because we've seen several shuls destroyed because of this sin. Therefore, known people should be appointed to supervise this, to ensure that that doesn't happen. You say it sounds almost frivolous. Shuls were destroyed? Rabbi, I could tell you. I don't know cause and effect. That's not my Indian. I'm not a Kabbalist, said facetiously. I don't know cause and effect. All I know is I've traveled a good part throughout the world, and the world is filled with destroyed shuls. And I will never say that that's not the reason why they were destroyed. It's not my business. All I know is that Kolbo says, shuls in which people talk, they don't survive. They don't survive. And that's something, therefore, we should take to heart. To summarize, tefillah connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the essence of Shemona Esrei is Amidah L'fnei Hashem, the whole point. But as far as I'm called Amidah, standing. We stand before God. We praise Him, we petition. The most important thing, what links the standing and the praising and the petitioning, is that we're recognizing God as the source of everything. Through tefillah, we perfect our emotions by taking our needs and desires and directing them to the true cause. And therefore, this is avoda shebaleg. This is avoda, service. Service is the most essential part of one's life. Because it harnesses the real potential, the essential qualities of the human being in the most noble activity that he can perform, and that is service of Hashem. I thank you very much. Next week, we discuss the unique tefillos of Shabbos. That will be part 9, unique tefillos of Shabbos. Thank you very much.